You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I had myself on mute. Welcome to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. I'm running out of air. Welcome to the show. Glad you could hang out. Today we're going to do, as I'm sure the title will probably tell you, we're going to do a mock draft. It is Mock Draft Monday, not a seven-round Packers thing. We're going to do a first-round mock draft. I don't know if I've done that, but we're going to do that just to kind of rip through and see where everybody's at. I briefly alluded to this as far as I've been kind of working on a little bit of a project, and if you are on my Substack, you are well aware of the progress I've made. But just trying to get a sense of where everybody's at and take down some relevant notes, for example, scheme fits and all that kind of stuff. So I want to go through that a little bit with you today as we do a mock draft and, you know, see how it goes. Obviously, ultimately, as a Packers podcast, our biggest question is who do the Packers take? But you don't know who the Packers are going to take if you don't know which guys are going to be available. So this is how we got to do it. Sound good? Good. So without further ado, why don't we get started? With the first pick, obviously, there is not much to think about here. Chicago Bears are almost certainly going to be taking Caleb Williams. It will be interesting to see if there's going to be a period of time. And I would be almost surprised if there wasn't, but we're kind of going in the opposite direction. It feels like there's got to be a period of time as we get closer to the draft where people start sowing doubt, right? Like, oh man, somebody just told me the Bears are really into Drake May, or they're really into, you know, Jaden Daniels or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's going to be Caleb Williams, and that's that. The other interesting thing about the draft is there's always this little thing called when the draft really starts, which is usually we know with 95% certainty which teams are going to pick which players. As of right now, as far as I know, the draft starts at pick 2. I kind of wonder, as we get closer, how many of these are going to start to get locked in. And I kind of think number 2, if it isn't already, is going to start to get pretty well locked in. So right now, it seems to be a two-man race between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. However, it seems as though there is a distinct... First of all, Jaden Daniels has been kind of skyrocketing. Drake May has been somewhat plummeting, or at the very least, sort of one of those, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards kind of things. He's just kind of been there, you know? Nobody really hypes him up. Nobody's super excited about him. He's just there. Whereas Jaden Daniels is the exciting, you know, Justin Fields. Who's the Justin Fields that's actually good at being a quarterback? Lamar Jackson. He's that guy. But aside from that, though, there's also a question of fit for Cliff Kingsbury, who is over there with the Commanders now. He's their offensive coordinator. And the thought process is the much better fit is going to be Jaden Daniels. So I'm going to be going with that for now. We'll see how these things go, but it seems to me number 1 and number 2, at least in my mind, until new information comes along. And of course, I mean, scouting has to come into play too, right? He might be an ideal fit, but if the GM says Drake May is an elite quarterback, Jaden Daniels is not very good, then they're not going to go that route. But again, for right now, I think it makes more sense that Jaden Daniels goes number 2. So then the question becomes, does the draft start at 3? My guess is going to be no. Now, at this time, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, as far as we're concerned, it starts at 2, but I'm guessing there's going to be some clarity. However, I'm personally kind of torn already, to be honest with you. The question, as far as I can tell, is going to come down to quarterback or trade. And I think, at least as far as right now, the quarterback is Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, or possibly even somebody else could maybe swoop in at some point. We're kind of closing in on if something crazy is going to happen, we're probably going to have to hear it pretty soon. But I think the consensus, I shouldn't even say that. I think the thing that seems to make the most sense is a trade back for the Patriots. And the thought process here is they've got a new organization. They have no picks. And there's also a thought about, you know, you don't want to take a quarterback and plop him in a garbage situation, which is where you are anyways. There's another thought process here, and that is that there is a connection between Drake May and the Vikings coaching staff. And so there's sort of this seamless idea of trade back with the Vikings, accumulate extra picks, move on with your life. Vikings come up, they take Drake May, et cetera, et cetera. The one big giant issue here is that Elliott Wolf, who is with the Patriots now, came from Green Bay. And we heard, I mean, this is probably true of most, if not all, organizations, but we heard what Brian Gutekunst had to say about quarterbacks. There is nothing that you shouldn't do to make sure that you have that dude at quarterback. The only question that I think is going to matter is Drake May the guy? And this idea that, well, if you draft him, he's going to go there and you're going to ruin him and it's not going to work. Like, that's, first of all, I think that's somewhat of a myth, although there's somewhat, you know, it's possible. It's not a certainty. He wouldn't be the first quarterback to come in and lead a team to, you know, from being bad to being good. I mean, look at the Houston Texans. Who gave a crap about the Texans prior to CJ Stroud? Nobody. They were a bad football team until they got a quarterback. I mean, reverse engineer the Patriots. Patriots were great, then they lost their quarterback, and then they became a joke. Maybe if you put a quarterback back there, then they become good again. It's, you know, whatever. If the organization looks at Drake May and says, I think that this guy is a franchise quarterback, I just don't think there's any way in the world they give him up. And they're like, eh, let's just work toward it. Bro, take the quarterback, make sure he doesn't die, like what the Bengals did with Joe Burrow, right? Bengals were garbage, no offensive line, like no wide receivers, nothing there. They drafted the dude, he was amazing, and then they started adding wide receivers, and maybe someday they'll add an offensive line, I don't know. But it wasn't a bad decision. It was the right decision. You don't pass on a quarterback just because, well, it's going to be rough for him. Don't give a crap. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to take it easy on myself. Trading with Minnesota is tough because I don't think Minnesota has the capital right now. So I would, you know, I mean, we could just package what they have, but I think they're not going to be enough. So I'd have to figure that out. And then it just gets messy. So I'm just going to have them sit and take Drake May. It's not to say Minnesota can't find another partner. I'm just saying for right now, this is the easier path for everybody. Next up, we got the Arizona Cardinals sitting at 4. As far as the mock drafts go, this was completely unanimous. There was no thought of trading back. There was no interesting twists or turns with a new quarterback or anything else. It was Marvin Harrison. And this fits kind of like a glove because they ended up losing Rondale Moore, Hollywood Brown. They lost a bunch of wide receivers. So they need wide receivers. Go figure. You're sitting with some of the best wide receivers to hit the draft in quite a while. And they fell into your lap because of, you know, quarterback need and whatnot. Now, there is some discussion about who the best wide receiver is. Seems to be floating around out there. But from what I looked at, it was unanimous. Marvin Harrison, not going to overthink it. Just going to lock it in. Then you've got the LA Chargers next up. Let me just read this first paragraph here. It just kind of gives an overall summary. Again, if I didn't explain it, essentially what I did to get my assistance through this is I went out and found the 10 or 12 mock drafts, the most recent ones. And then I fed each team. So I went through and I grabbed every single Chargers one, 12 Chargers mocks, pumped it into the robot, and I asked it to output some information for me. Here's the first paragraph. The mock drafts for the LA Chargers at the 5th overall pick predominantly focus on addressing the team's wide receiver needs following significant roster changes, including the departures of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Malik Nabers from LSU emerges as the primary target for the Chargers, with the consensus indicating his selection would provide a vital weapon for quarterback Justin Herbert. Additionally, there is speculation about potential trades, particularly involving the Minnesota Vikings seeking to move up in the draft, possibly for a quarterback like J.J. McCarthy from Michigan or Drake May. In this case, he's gone. However, the core analysis remains focused on the Chargers' need at wide receiver. So again, there is a question. You know, the Vikings are screaming, please, please. But you can't force trades. So one of the things I had such a hard time when I would do mock drafts because I would always be thinking, okay, which teams want to trade up right now? And da 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 da. It doesn't matter. The only question is, do I want to trade back? If I have no interest in that, then it doesn't matter if somebody's picking up the phone and calling and saying, please, please let me move up. Irrelevant. And so once again, I'm very sorry, Minnesota Vikings fans. I promise you this is not out of spite. It just makes a lot of sense that the Chargers are kind of floundering. We had two really good wide receivers. We lost both of them. Malik Nabers is, by some accounts, even better than Marvin Harrison. One of the better wide receivers to come out in a very long time. He's sitting here in our lap. I got to do it. And the funny thing about it is, we could honestly get to a point, depending on where we're at with Jaden Daniels and Drake May, or I should say picks 2 and 3, where all the way through picks 5, we're kind of just sitting here going, yeah, we knew that was coming. Because we know Caleb Williams. It's possible we come to know Jaden Daniels. It might be a situation where we understand that the Patriots either don't want to trade, or we're sitting here saying it's either Drake May or a trade. So, you know, whatever, we'll see. And then at 4, we know they're going Marvin Harrison. At 5, we know they're going Malik Nabers. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm kind of hoping we don't get to that point because it's always boring. Just lie to me and say we don't know, even if you know. It's weird because obviously in my position where I'm at, I want to know the truth. But for the sake of the draft day, it's like, I like being shocked and amazed. I don't want to be bored. Then we get to the New York Giants. I have to assume this is where things are going to be a little bit off the rails, if for no other reason than just, you know, at some point, even if there's just a small chance of a thing happening over the course of numerous picks, you know, you have to assume we don't know 100% who this person's picking. So the Giants at 6, let me read the first paragraph. It says, the mock drafts for the New York Giants at the 6th overall pick present a focus on enhancing the wide receiver core with Roma Dunze from Washington and Malik Nabers from LSU. Obviously, Nabers is gone. However, there's also speculation about the Giants' interest in quarterbacks, notably J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, suggesting a potential shift in the team's long-term plans at the quarterback position. The analysis reflects a blend of immediate need and future consideration for the Giants. So it kind of comes down to Roma Dunze or J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, there's a question of would they consider trading it. I mean, I would say possibly. You could say, well, why not the other guys? Well, the other guys are dealing with elite players, right? You don't, if you need a wide receiver, you don't trade away a blue chip wide receiver. If you need a quarterback, you don't trade away a franchise quarterback. If you're looking at Roma Dunze, I hate to call him a consolation prize, but by the time you get to here, Roma Dunze and J.J. McCarthy are kind of the next tier of guys. So it's not impossible that they look at it and go, you know, fine. This is also an area where, for example, Minnesota would definitely have the capital. In fact, they'd probably get something back if they traded both of their first round picks. I think they get up to 4 or 5 or something like that, based on the charts, if you're using it very strictly. Possibly you're overpaying because it's a quarterback. Maybe they just fork over both picks and move up if they wanted to. There are other teams aside from Minnesota vying to move up. You know, there's talk about Denver I saw recently making some moves and whatnot, positioning themselves to maybe want to try to move up. I mean, I've got an idea what the right thing to do is. The right thing to do would be to draft JJ and then let him sit behind Daniel Jones, because we can't move on from Daniel Jones right now. And then in 2025, we make a decision. If the guy's ready, we can move on. It's a $22 million dead cap hit for Daniel Jones. Whoop-de-frickin-do. We're still going to save almost $20 million compared to what we would have paid if we kept Daniel Jones. And we got a quarterback locked up. It doesn't feel like that's going to happen, but I guess I don't care. That just makes so much sense. We have to keep Daniel Jones for one more year. We don't like Daniel Jones and want to move on. Wouldn't it make sense to draft a guy that needs to sit for a year, have him sit for a year while we're forced to play Daniel Jones? I'm doing it. It makes too much sense. J.J. McCarthy's going to the Giants at 6. Titans at 7. Paragraph says, the consensus among the mock drafts for the Tennessee Titans at the 7th overall pick is strongly leaning towards offensive tackle, specifically Joe Alt from Notre Dame. The choice is driven by a clear need to bolster the offensive line, particularly after the release of Andre Dillard and the Titans' active approach to enhance their offensive skill position during free agency, notably with the acquisition of Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. So I'm not going to drag this one out. There are some other possible, you know, Fashanu, Fuaga, whatever, but Joe Alt seems to be the dude, so we're going Joe Alt. All right, then for the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, look, it's heavily slanted toward pass rush, which it feels like the Falcons have been, that's been their number one pick for years now, is getting them a pass rusher. Dallas Turner being top among those. Jared Verse is also slotted in there. There was some talk about maybe this being a spot for a trade. There was one mock that had Denver come up for a quarterback. There are no quarterbacks, really, so that's not an option. Plus, I wouldn't really want to do that anyways. If you need a pass rusher, and all the best pass rushers are here, that's just what it is. The other thought was secondary, Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. I don't think any of those would necessarily be bad options. But again, the vast majority went with Dallas Turner, and I think that makes the most sense. That's my top edge rusher, at least among these guys, without saying silly stuff like, you know, the second round guy that I like is better. I like Dallas Turner a lot. He should be edge one, in my opinion. And then there's also the compatibility. His skills are seen as a match for Raheem Morris. So kind of a no-brainer in my mind.
Well, apparently this isn't going to be Monday. Didn't get that quite finished. Not even close. Mock draft Tuesday. Anyways, moving on.
Moving on to the Chicago Bears. It says, for the Chicago Bears at the 9th overall pick, there's a mix of strategies revolving around bolstering both the offense and defensive side of the balls. The departure of Justin Fields and the addition of Caleb Williams at quarterback have shifted the Bears' focus towards providing Williams with the necessary support as well as enhancing their defensive edge rush. Jared Verse from Florida State, Dallas Turner, who is gone. Additionally, prospects like Joe Alt and Rome Odunze are considered to bolster the offensive line and receiving core, respectively.
I think all of that makes sense. There's also speculation about a trade, which also makes sense to me. I think if you're going to trade, this would be the time to do it, as opposed to trading the number one pick, as some Bears fans have, or at least used to desperately scream for when they thought Justin Fields was sticking around. But still, having drafted our quarterback, I feel like I don't know if this is the time to screw around necessarily. So it kind of comes down to, do we want to get that pass rusher to go across from, I guess to get our one pass rusher. We paid for a guy that already in his second contract, but whatever, our second guy. Do we get Odunze? We do already have two guys, but one of them is just a one-year rental. Or do we look at a guy like possibly Fashanu? That kind of gets back to the question similar to where the Packers are at, where they have a guy at left tackle that's fine, but he's not a premier left tackle. I'll be honest, I'm leaning toward Rome Odunze because it just feels like such a great fit. Rome Odunze is sort of a field stretcher. So even in year one, he's the perfect complement. You've got Rome Odunze stretching the field. You've got your ex in DJ Moore. You got your slot guy in Keenan Allen. I mean, it's sort of the perfect trio. And then again, when Allen leaves, you still have a great, potentially great duo there. I think if Dallas Turner was still there, I would consider edge more strongly. I'm just not big on Jared Verse, to be honest. Tackle does make a good amount of sense, and it might be the better option. Joe Alt is already gone. I think Fashanu is a phenomenal piece, but Fashanu is probably the right pick. But Odunze just fits like a freaking glove, and I'm just going to go that way. Because it feels like a more Bearsy thing to do anyways, right? You want to win now. So you need win now and make your quarterback look amazing. You've got a tackle that can kind of, he can survive. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with your tackle. So go get the best wide receiver core and put him out there with your new quarterback. Make yourself look like a genius.
And for the New York Jets at the 10th overall pick, there's a mix of strategies focused on adding offensive weapons for Aaron Rodgers and bolstering the offensive line. Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, emerges as a favorite pick for the elite athleticism and potential as a mismatch weapon in the passing game. Other considerations including adding a top wide receiver like Rome Odunze, gone, or fortifying the offensive line with prospects like Fuaga or Fashanu. So this is kind of tough too, because it feels obvious that you would take Fashanu. It's just a done deal. But they just signed Tyron Smith. Now, that shouldn't matter because Tyron Smith is 34 years old and it's a one-year deal. So you still should get Fashanu, but the Jets are not a particularly intelligent organization. They realize that this might be their last shot with Aaron Rodgers to get something done. So you're not going to have a tackle just sitting on the bench. You could possibly get Fashanu and put him over at right tackle. But something about Brock Bowers just makes a lot of sense, especially, well, Rodgers probably wants a better offensive line given what happened, but you know how hard Rodgers has pushed for tight ends while he was with the Green Bay Packers, right? I mean, he was openly soliciting tight ends. He was begging them to come here.
constantly talking about we need tight ends, et cetera, et cetera. With a guy like Brock Bowers sitting there, I have to imagine he's going to be a big fan of that. In fact, if you look at the two guys that they have right now, they've got Tyron Smith, who last year was the fourth best tackle, and then Morgan Moses on the right side was graded as the 10th best tackle. Now, both of these guys might be gone after this year, but they don't need a tackle right now. So, I think they're going Brock Bowers. And if Bowers wasn't there, I would almost say, you know, this could potentially be a trade back spot because they really need to work on the interior. They could stack up on some picks. Obviously, they don't have their second round pick because they gave it to us, but they can't pass on Bowers here. They got Garrett Wilson. They added Mike Williams. So they feel like they've got a really good wide receiver core. And then you add Brock Bowers in at tight end. You've got your tackle shored up. I mean, they really are going to feel like they got something going on here. Anyways, why don't we take our first break? We'll come back, rip through another 10, 11 of these guys, and do another 10 or 11. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So the Vikings are going to be the toughest because when you look at mock drafts, almost zero of them have the Vikings picking at 11. And I understand it from the standpoint of saying there's no way the Vikings are going to want to stay here. That's not the question I'm asking, though. The question is how many teams want to move back to 11. There's options, just none of them were my favorite options. But I guess the good news is that the two first-round picks are not going to go to waste. The Vikings have a lot of needs. And Fashanu maybe isn't my favorite option, considering that's one of the few things they really have down under the tackles. But Terrion Arnold is the next highest, at least on this big board. And corner is a pretty big need, so I'm just not going to overthink it. I'm going to grab Terrion Arnold for the Minnesota Vikings. And we get to the Broncos. It says, for the Broncos at the 12th overall pick, the focus is primarily on finding a quarterback to replace Russell Wilson and establish a new direction under Sean Payton. Bo Nix from Oregon is highlighted as a potential fit, given his solid arm and scrambling ability. Additionally, there's considerations for strengthening the defense with prospects like Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, and Jared Verse being mentioned to enhance the secondary and edge rush capabilities. So, I do like Bo Nix. It's not my understanding at this point that this is where he would go. If it was, I would have just sent him to the Vikings. Arnold just went. Mitchell is available. Jared Verse, again, I'm not super high on. Not that it necessarily matters what I think, but I am going to go with Quinyon Mitchell here. For the Las Vegas Raiders at the 13th overall pick, the primary focus is on addressing needs on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Well, that makes it tricky. The departure of Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh Jacobs, along with the need for reinforcements at the offensive tackle position, has highlighted several potential draft strategies. The mock drafts present a variety of prospects, including offensive tackles J.C. Latham from Alabama, Talisi Fuaga from Oregon State, as well as defensive talents like Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo and Terrion Arnold from Alabama. So, I mean, this makes it relatively easy, I would say. The two corners just went off the board. They need offensive help. They're not even projecting Fashanu to be here, because he generally doesn't fall this far. This is where Fashanu is going to go. And this is a steal for the Raiders. For the New Orleans Saints at the 14th pick, there's a consensus on adding either the offensive line or adding a dynamic offensive weapon. The primary focus has been to fortifying the offensive line with Fashanu or Fatanu. Additionally, options like Brian Thomas at wide receiver and Brock Bowers from Georgia at tight end are discussed as potential picks. So basically, with Fashanu just off the board, we're looking at Fatanu or some offensive lineman or possibly taking a swing at Brian Thomas. Although I think Brian Thomas is not a terrible option, I am going to go with Talisi Fuaga here at 14. For the Indianapolis Colts at the 15th overall pick, the focus is on bolstering their secondary to address the significant offensive threats within their division. Terrion Arnold from Alabama is the highest prospect due to his quickness. Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is another cornerback considered for his standout combine performance and fit within the Colts system. Now, both of those guys are gone, and if you scroll down a little bit more, it says considerations for offensive weapons. While the primary focus appears to be on the secondary, there's also mention of adding offensive weapons to support quarterback Anthony Richardson, with Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU being noted for his explosive playmaking ability. So the question becomes, are we going Nate Wiggins, Cooper DeJean, or should we take a swing at Brian Thomas? And this one's pretty straightforward to me because... we've invested a lot in wide receiver. We got Pittman. That's a good player. Downs looks like he's going to be a good player. Pierce, not so much, but we just drafted the guy. On the defensive side, we've got Kenny Moore, who had a good year, but it was kind of a fluky kind of good year. And then Julius Brents and Rodney Thomas. Like, it's not a good group. So it's really just a question of who. I'm going to let this here big board decide for me, and they have Nate Wiggins one spot ahead of Cooper DeJean, so we're going Nate Wiggins. For the Seattle Seahawks at the 16th overall pick, the focus is on strengthening their offensive line with a particular emphasis on interior due to several impending free agency departures. Troy Fontenot from Washington is highlighted as a potential pick offering versatility and athleticism despite possible length limitations. Other prospects considered include Amarius Mims from Georgia for his exceptional athletic ability and size, as well as Graham Barton from Duke, who offers flexibility across all offensive line positions. Additional considerations are Latu and Jerzon Newton. Robot suggests Fontenot, and I think that actually makes a lot of sense, especially if he's a tackle that you think you could possibly kick inside, where we need both. We could use him as a tackle. We would prefer him inside if possible, and he's probably going to be a really good guard. So I think we're going to go that direction. For the Jacksonville Jaguars at the 17th overall pick, the focus is on addressing their defensive weakness, particularly at the cornerback position, and enhancing their pass rush. Nate Wiggins from Clemson is highlighted as a potential solution to the cornerback issue, bringing athleticism and quickness to the secondary. Other considerations including bolstering the pass rush with Chop Robinson from Penn State, or adding firepower with Adonai Mitchell from Texas. So I think this is a situation where it kind of potentially could come down to the board. Latu and Jared Verse are both still sitting here. And so while we could just go Cooper DeJean or whatever, and obviously they mentioned Chop Robinson, but I think that's partially to do with maybe liking Chop Robinson more, but also the assumption that Latu and or Verse are gone. So I'm going to go ahead and select Latu because he is the highest on the board currently. For the Cincinnati Bengals at the 18th overall pick, the primary focus appears to be on addressing the offensive line, especially with Jonah Williams becoming an impending free agent and the general ongoing issues with that unit. Fuaga from Oregon State is highlighted as the potential pick due to impressive run-blocking skills and versatility to potentially move to guard. Other prospects like J.C. Latham from Alabama and Byron Murphy for the defensive interior are also considered based on their ability to contribute significantly to the team's needs. So I think the Bengals feel pretty good with tackle after bringing in Trent Brown. They have Orlando Brown and Trent Brown at tackle. Again, these are not long-term options. Trent Brown is a one-year deal. Even Orlando's sort of getting up there. He's 28 years old. So, but regardless, I just don't see that being a thing. The interior could possibly be an option. With Fuaga being gone, we would have to turn to some other options like possibly Jackson Powers Johnson or a guy like Graham Barton. I'll be completely honest. I kind of feel like Graham Barton makes a lot of sense because as I look at their offensive line, it's like I feel like we can go with any of these guys, but also most of them can be upgraded. And the only position that's not entirely true of is Trent Brown. And even that is kind of iffy. Last year he was really good, but that was really his only good year. But even Orlando Brown is kind of eh. And then the entire interior offensive line is kind of eh. So I think I'm going to go with Graham Barton and hope that he can just be really good at something and then just put him there. I don't care what it is, center, guard, tackle, whatever he's really good at, just put him there. For the LA Rams and the 19th overall pick, there's a focus on addressing significant needs on both sides of the ball following the retirement of Aaron Donald and the ongoing issues in defending against outside receivers. The Rams are contemplating replacements on the interior defensive line and cornerback positions to bolster their squad. So this one, there's obviously somebody that stands out. I mean, you can go pretty much anywhere, but Byron Murphy makes a lot of sense. It says, known for his disruptive play on the interior, Murphy could help fill the void left by Aaron Donald with 6 sacks and 34 quarterback pressures in college. Murphy shows some promise as a formidable force on the defensive line. His well-rounded abilities make him a valuable asset for the Rams, offering both pass rush and run defense capabilities. And then it even goes on to recommend that. It says, given the significant gap left by Aaron Donald's retirement, selecting Byron Murphy seems to be the most strategic choice for the Rams with the 19th overall pick, and on and on and on. For the Pittsburgh Steelers at the 20th overall pick, the focus is on strengthening the offensive line to enhance their run game and protect whoever is under center. Given Mason Cole's departure and the need for a robust center, Jackson Powers Johnson emerges as a compelling choice for the for Pittsburgh. His transition from the defense to the offensive line and subsequent performance as a center demonstrates versatility and a high ceiling for growth. Some other options that people put forth, Graham Barton, who's gone, Amarius Mims, obviously the tackle, and then Brian Thomas, who still remains. But Jackson Powers Johnson does seem to be the top guy. It says, moving from the defense to the offensive line, Powers Johnson has shown remarkable adaptability and proficiency at the center position. His final season showcased his ability to anchor the offensive line effectively. With size and athleticism, Powers Johnson brings a dynamic presence to the center position, potentially solidifying the Steelers' interior offensive line and enhancing both the run and pass protection schemes. So, I'm fine with that. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Pittsburgh Steelers. For the Miami Dolphins of the 21st pick, addressing the loss of key defensive and offensive linemen is a priority, alongside the need for a durable option across from Terrion Armstead on the offensive line. The Dolphins are exploring potential picks that could immediately impact both their defensive front and offensive line stability. Some options: Latu, Jerzon Newton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Byron Murphy, Amarius Mims. Obviously, a lot of those guys are gone. The robot thinks Amarius Mims would be the best option, even of that group. It says, given the Dolphins' need for both offensive and defensive line reinforcements, Amarius Mims stands out, especially compelling choice at the 21st overall pick. His sheer size, coupled with considerable athleticism, provides Miami with a durable and versatile option to fortify the offensive line. Mims' potential to develop into a reliable protection for Tagovailoa alongside enhancing the run game makes him an attractive selection. The only thing that I'm curious about, let me check, is the fact that Jared Verse is still sitting here. Yeah, they got Bradley Chubb, who really was amazing last year, and then they went out and got Shaq Barrett. That's not a super long-term deal, but I don't know that that's the best option. All right, let's go Mims then. All right, let's take our final break, and then we'll rip through the last 11 or so picks, and obviously that'll include the Green Bay Packers. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. For the Philadelphia Eagles, addressing the secondary becomes a primary focus given the struggles they faced last year, emphasizing the need for a talented cornerback. While Kamari Lassiter from Georgia was initially considered for his potential as a cover corner, the Eagles have various directions they could go. They've got Nate Wiggins, Jared Verse, J.C. Latham, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean. Given that, the robot wants him to go Cooper DeJean. It says, given the considerations, DeJean's versatility and immediate impact potential in the Eagles' secondary present a compelling case for the 22nd pick. His adaptability across defensive back positions, coupled with the pressing need for improved pass defense, aligns well with the Eagles' strategic priorities, ensuring both immediate contributions and long-term defense resilience. So, I mean, Jared Verse is still sitting there. It's not that big of a drop or big deal that it's impossible. Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid are both there. This board does have DeJean higher, so I'm going to have Cooper DeJean come off the board here and go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Next up, we got the Minnesota Vikings' second pick. Again, big problem because almost nobody had them even here. I will say, though, I think the answer is kind of just staring me right in the face. I've been waiting for a spot for Jared Verse. The Minnesota Vikings, the first time around, I think, took a corner. And I know they added some people or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, there's obviously Chop Robinson also if you wanted to go in that direction. You could go another corner with Kool-Aid if you wanted to go that route. There's Jerzon Newton sitting here. But I just think Jared Verse makes the most sense. I'm going to have him go to the Minnesota Vikings. So just to recap before we get to the Dallas Cowboys, because the Packers are up one pick after. Brian Thomas is still available. Chop Robinson is available. Kool-Aid McKinstry is available. I think between those three options, we're sitting in a very, very good situation. Obviously, you can go in other additional directions. But those three guys are me doing backflip guys. And there's only one spot in front of us. But without further ado, the Dallas Cowboys, recognizing the need to bolster their receiving core to support Dak Prescott, are likely to focus on adding a dynamic number two receiver to complement CeeDee Lamb. With Brian Thomas Jr.'s combination of size, athleticism, and upside, he emerges as the prime candidate for the Dallas Cowboys selection at 24. Brian Thomas offers a compelling skill set that could significantly enhance the Cowboys' passing game. So I think that pretty well speaks for itself, so we will take Brian Thomas off the board. Now, I'm not going to worry about what the robot said about the Green Bay Packers, because the whole point of that was to get us here. And, I mean, there's a guy just staring me right in the face. I'm trying to think it through. J.C. Latham, right tackle. I mean, sure, but eh. Jerzon Newton, very exciting. Certainly a possibility, but there was a report that came out that they're looking to extend Kenny Clark. So, I mean, we've got several long-term options on the defensive tackle front right now. Chop Robinson is a phenomenal option, but I just feel like it's not exactly the direction the Packers typically go. I don't mean edge. I just mean his style of play. But Kool-Aid McKinstry, man, that is certainly an intriguing option, and I think I'm going to go that direction. Packers will select at 25, Kool-Aid McKinstry. But the draft doesn't end there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers looking to bolster their offensive line. The robot was looking for Amarius Mims, who is gone. However, J.C. Latham is still sitting here. So at 26, the Buccaneers are going to select offensive tackle J.C. Latham. At 27, the Cardinals are looking to get some help on the interior of their defensive line, which is perfect because the guy at the top of our board here is Jerzon Newton. So at 27, the Cardinals will take Jerzon Newton. At 28, the Buffalo Bills are looking to add to their offensive side, specifically the weapons. They went in a different direction with, I don't even remember, let's see, who was that? It was Xavier Leggett. But we're not going to go that direction because our board just doesn't quite have it that way. So I'll just go with the guy at the top here, which is Keon Coleman, is going to go 28 to the Buffalo Bills, which brings us to the Detroit Lions at 29. Let's see, Detroit Lions at pick 29. The mock drafts present a variety of perspectives on addressing defense and offensive line needs, reflecting a strategic balancing act between bolstering defense and ensuring the offensive line's robustness. So Chop Robinson and Latu are mentioned. Offensive line, Zach Frazier and Jackson Powers-Johnson. Other notable picks, Byron Murphy, Keon Coleman. Chop Robinson does make quite a bit of sense, especially considering the value that you're getting at 29. I kind of think that's the direction we should go. If Chop Robinson's a hit, you've got one of the better pass rush duos, and any team would love to have that situation. So at 30... says, for the Baltimore Ravens at pick 30, the mock drafts highlight a broad spectrum of strategies to reinforce both offensive and defensive lines, common theme for a lot of teams, along with considerations for enhancing the receiving core. Here's an analysis focusing on the team's key approach. J.C. Latham, Patrick Paul, Kingsley Suamataya, and Jordan Morgan are frequently mentioned, emphasizing the Ravens' urgent need to solidify the offensive line, particularly in the wake of Ronnie Stanley's injury history, and the trade of Morgan Moses. Prospects are selected for their massive frames, athleticism, and potential to immediately compete for starting roles or provide valuable depth. The emphasis on tackles with versatility capable of playing across the line highlights a strategy to build a resilient, adaptable offensive front that can protect Lamar Jackson and enhance the run game. Also talks of Darius Robinson, Tyler Newbin, Adonai Mitchell. The recommendation is J.C. Latham, who is gone. However, still available, and the top guy on the board is Tyler Guyton, so that's who we are going to be going with for the Ravens. The San Francisco 49ers are positioned to use their late first-round pick to address key areas of need or opportunity, with particular focus on the offensive line. The strategic consideration is driven by the anticipation of Trent Williams' career nearing its end and the desire to maintain a robust, protective front for their quarterback while also ensuring stability and prowess in their run game. So they've got Jordan Morgan, Tyler Guyton, Sua Mataya, Graham Barton, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't look like there's any other considerations here, so we'll just stick with that, find the best offensive tackle available, and for us, that's Kingsley Sua Mataya, still a pretty good value. He's listed at 35, we're at 31. Finally, Kansas City Chiefs. For the Kansas City Chiefs at pick number 32, the proposed draft picks span a variety of positions, but there's a strong emphasis on adding needs at offensive tackle and wide receiver. So they've got Tyler Guyton, Kingsley Sua Mataya, Patrick Paul, Graham Barton, at wide receiver, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, and then defensive possibilities, they have Cooper DeJean, Jerzon Newton. So, offensive tackles have been coming off the board, but there's still a lot left. There are a lot of tackles. Jordan Morgan is still a solid value. But Adonai Mitchell is listed higher, as is Xavier Worthy. So I'm a little torn, especially since the Chiefs seem to have a penchant. Maybe this is going to change, but they seem to be that team that's like, let's just keep adding weapons. You know, they were the team that went out and got a first-round running back, which was a disaster, but like, we're good, let's just become better. Screw all the, you know, being responsible stuff. Plus, I mean, they saw some, I mean, they won the Super Bowl, but there's certainly concerns if we keep losing our weapons. I mean, they can keep adding through free agency and whatnot, but at some point, you want to start getting some homegrown talent. So I think I'm going to lean, do I want to get Adonai Mitchell, though? After all that, I might just be lazy and go Jordan Morgan. Hollywood Brown is there, but I believe that's just a one-year deal. Rashee Rice. No, we got to go tackle. Their tackles suck. So we will be going with Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. So, you don't make the recap. Oh, here we go. Final results. We got the Bears got, I'm not going to go through all of them. The Bears ended up with Caleb Williams and Dallas Turner. The Minnesota Vikings ended up with Roma Dunze and Jared Verse. Oh, not Rome. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to do the recap. I forgot my, because I didn't finish yesterday. When I came back, I had to start over, and I just started clicking through because I'm like, I don't know who got what. I just know these guys were gone. So you forget the recap. I was like, wait a minute. They didn't get a wide receiver. Corner and Jared Verse, and then the Bears got Caleb and Roma Dunze, pretty sure. Detroit got Chop Robinson. Packers ended up with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Anyways, folks, that's all she wrote. I'm going to go back and try to package these things up and put them back on the Substack. So if you want to see some of these notes, they will be there eventually. It's mostly just copy and pasting and whatnot. But otherwise, you guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.